You smell it before you see it. Cut grass, warm engine oil, a little bit of Avgas, and somewhere off to the left, coffee. That is the smell of a place that has not changed in 60 years. And I mean that as the highest compliment I know how to give. I'm standing on the ramp at Antique Airfield out in the middle of Iowa near a little town called Blakesburg, and you have to see this. I'm not kidding. There's a 1929 Travel Air parked 20 feet from me with the cowling off and three grown men leaning into the engine like it's a campfire. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Ramp. This is Ramp Check. And today I'm taking you somewhere that does not show up on a lot of bucket lists, but absolutely should. The Antique Airplane Association National Fly-In, and once you understand what happens here, you're going to want to point your nose at Iowa the last week of summer. Let me set the stage first, because Antique Airfield is not a normal airport. It is grass, all grass. The identifier is India Alpha 27, and if you go looking for it on a chart, you will find a private field tucked into the Iowa farmland that the Antique Airplane Association has run since a man named Robert Taylor started the whole thing back in 1953. He was a school teacher who could not stand the idea of old airplanes going to the scrapyard, so he built a club, and then he built a field for the club. And that field became a mecca. They call it the Antique Airfield, and the whole operation lives under the banner of the Air Power Museum right there on the property. Robert's family still runs it. This is a place built by one stubborn man who loved old airplanes, and it never got sold, never got paved, never got turned into anything other than what he wanted it to be. Before I take you deeper into the grass, let me tell you who's making today possible. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey, first solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up, mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story, AviationSoul.com, and honestly, standing in a field full of airplanes that are each carrying 80, 90 years of stories, that line hits a little different today. Okay, come with me. The first thing you notice, the very first thing, is how quiet the radio is. At most fly-ins, your handheld is going nonstop. Everybody calling every leg, everybody talking over everybody. Here, there's a tower frequency for the event. Sure, and there are marshals in the grass with paddles, but the culture is you keep it short and you keep your eyes outside, because half the airplanes flying the pattern do not have an electrical system at all. No radio, no transponder. A 1931 fleet biplane does not care about your frequency. It flies the pattern the way airplanes flew the pattern before anybody had a radio to argue about, and everybody else works around it. That is the whole philosophy of this place in one sentence. The airplane comes first. The old way is not a problem to be solved. It is the point. Let me take you down the flight line, because I could stand here all day. There's a Stinson, there's a Waco, and I mean a real Waco. Open cockpit, the kind of airplane where the pilot climbs out with grass in their teeth and a grin they cannot wipe off. There's a whole row of Cubs, Piper Cubs, yellow as school buses, tails in the air, tied down in a line so straight it looks like somebody used a chalk line. And then I turn around and there's something I genuinely do not recognize, and that right there is why you come to Blakesburg. Because at a big air show, you see the same 15 airplanes here, you see the ones that only fly a few hours a year, the oddballs, the one-of-a-kind, the home built from 1940 that somebody's grandfather welded together in a barn. This field pulls airplanes out of hiding that you will not see anywhere else on the continent. I just watched a 1928 Command Air come around the pattern. A Command Air? Do you know how many of those are left flying? You could count them and have fingers left over. And it did not taxi up to a fence to be admired. It flew. It landed on the grass, three-pointed it, sweet as you like, and taxied over to a tie-down like it was the most ordinary thing in the world. That is the thing about this place. Nothing here is a museum piece behind a rope. Well, the museum has some, but out on the grass, everything flies, everything. Now, let me tell you about the people, because the machines are only half of it. I walked up to that Travel Air I mentioned, the one with the cowling off and the three guys around it. Turns out the airplane belongs to a man who has been coming to Blakesburg since he was a kid, sitting in the grass watching his father fly in. His dad's gone now, the airplane is not. He flew it up from Missouri, and one of the cylinders started running a little rough on the way in, and instead of it being a disaster, it became a party. Three total strangers wandered over, and now they are all elbow deep in a 90-year-old radial engine, laughing, passing wrenches, telling stories about the last time somebody had this exact problem. Nobody's charging anybody. Nobody called a shop. This is the shop. The ramp is the shop. That knowledge, how to keep a 1929 engine alive. It does not live in a manual anymore. It lives in these people, and the only way it gets passed down is exactly this guy from Missouri, guy from Wisconsin, guy from who knows where, all leaning over the same engine. You have to see this to understand it. This is not a car show where you polish it and stand next to it. This is a living thing, and here's the part that gets me. Look down the row of tents. Because most of these people are camping right there under the wing next to the airplane, the way you did it in 1953, the way Robert Taylor did it. There are tents pitched in the shade of biplane wings all up and down this field. Somebody's got a coffee pot going on a camp stove. Somebody's kid is asleep in a hammock strung between two tie-down stakes. At night, the stories come out and somebody always has a guitar, and the airplanes just sit there in the dark, ticking as they cool, like they're listening. The Antique Airplane Association has a motto, and once you hear it, you never forget it. Keep the antiques flying. That's it. That is the whole mission. Not keep them shiny, not keep them in a hangar, keep them flying. And when you're standing in this field, you realize it is not a slogan. It is a promise these people make to airplanes that the rest of the world gave up on. Let me talk about the fly-in itself for a second, because if you're a pilot, you're already asking the right question: what's it like to fly in here? It is a grass strip, it is not huge, and you're sharing the pattern with airplanes that have no radio, no electrical system, wildly different approach speeds, and in some cases, 70 or 80 years of age on the airframe. This is not a place you show up to cold and unprepared. If you want to come, and you should, you get the NAUTM, you read the arrival procedure the association publishes, and you fly it exactly, you fly it the way they tell you. You keep your speed under control, you keep your head on a swivel, and you respect the fact that the airplane in front of you might be doing 45 knots on final and cannot hear a word you say. And here's the beautiful part. If you're flying something modern, something with a glass panel and a nice smooth engine, you're absolutely welcome. Nobody looks down on you, but there is an unwritten understanding that on this field, the older and slower airplane always, always gets the deference. You fit into their world, they do not fit into yours, and there's something wonderful about a place that draws that line and means it. I want to tell you about one more airplane before we start wrapping up, because I cannot leave without it. There's a 1930-something tail dragger down at the end of the line, and the paint is not perfect. The fabric has a patch, and a woman is sitting on a folding chair right next to it. And I asked her about it, and her whole face changed. It was her husband's. He restored it over 11 years. He is not here anymore, and she still flies it up to Blakesburg every single year because this is where he was happiest. And because as long as that airplane is flying, a little piece of him still is too. And when she said that, I looked around at this whole field, all these old machines that outlived the people who first flew them, being kept alive by the people who loved them next. And I finally got it. That is ramp culture, not the airplanes, the handing down, the refusing to let go. The idea that a machine can carry a person's story forward long after the person is gone, as long as somebody is willing to keep it flying. That is what this grass strip in Iowa is really about. If you want to go, and I'm telling you, you want to go, the Antique Airplane Association and the Air Power Museum run the show, and you can find the arrival details and the dates through them. My thanks to the association and to the Taylor family for keeping Robert's dream mode rolled and ready every single year, and to the pilots on the flight line who let me stick my microphone into their engine trouble. You can find us anytime at radiohanger.com. I'm Ramp Go Find a Grass Strip this week, land on it. And if you see an old airplane with the cowling off and somebody leaning into it, stop and say hello. That's where the good stories are.